Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass descent.
These are weapons of mass descent.
Welcome to Uprising, the daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Tuesday, October 25th, 2011, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar.
It just makes me stop and
think. It just makes me stop and think.
It just makes me stop and think.
It just makes me stop and think.
Silence is not an option.
Tom Ferguson on Occupy Wall Street, how money and politics intersect in the U.S. And Hot Coffee, a brand new documentary about the right-wing move to push tort reform at the expense of civil justice. Plus this week's Civic Circus.
But I can't help myself, why should I?
This is Uprising.
Good morning and welcome to Uprising. Police in Oakland raided that city's Occupy Wall Street encampment early this morning with 200 officers. Dozens of people were arrested. Even though the Occupy Los Angeles encampment in front of City Hall continues to enjoy good relations with the city police, mass arrests continue to happen in cities like Oakland. Over the weekend, 130 Occupy Chicago protesters were arrested. Members of the National Nurses United protested Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel's offices, chanting, "Arrest the 1%. Famed intellectual Cornel West was arrested along with 30 people for blocking the entrance to a police station in Harlem as part of the Occupy Harlem movement. He and others were protesting the NYPD's so-called stop and frisk policy, which they say racially profiles black and brown men. In more Occupy news, over the weekend, world-famous linguist and political thinker Noam Chomsky addressed the Occupy Boston demonstration in Dewey Square for 40 minutes. He warned that while he was impressed with the movement so far, quote, there is a long way to go.
It's kind of spectacular and unprecedented. There's never been anything like it that I can think of. If the bonds and associations that are being established in these remarkable events can be sustained through a long, hard period ahead, because victories don't come quickly, it could turn out to be a really historic, very significant moment in American history.
Professor Chomsky went on to say that change, quote, requires a lot of work, dedication, and popular support. The Occupy movements have succeeded most strikingly in one aspect, forcing greater and better mainstream media coverage of the vast income inequality in the United States. However, that media coverage has yet to translate into policy changes on Capitol Hill. While President Obama's already weak jobs bill has stalled, he has revived a home mortgage refinancing program. But the program is so convoluted and conditional that it is unclear who, if anyone, will actually benefit from it. Meanwhile, Republicans continue to tout pro-business legislation, and proposals like GOP candidate Herman Cain and his so-called 999 plan, which would lower taxes for the wealthy and increase them for the poor. Meanwhile, in what is sure to be just the beginning of a predictable propaganda wave against Occupy Wall Street, two right-wing authors plan to release a book today in Zuccotti Park in New York titled Red Army, the Radical Network that Must Be Defeated to Save America. The book claims to document, quote, that the Occupy Wall Street movement is well-planned by seasoned extremists and not the spontaneous uprising it claims to be, while alleging that radicals behind the movement maintain White House connections, end of quote. Well, joining me on the phone earlier this morning was Thomas Ferguson, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts Boston and a senior fellow of the Roosevelt Institute, who addressed the Occupy Boston camp yesterday. Welcome to Uprising, Thomas Ferguson.
Hi there.
Well, let me first start by asking you what your general impressions of this movement has been. You're based in Boston, where there's an Occupy Boston encampment at Dewey Park, that particular group of protesters was addressed over the weekend by Professor Noam Chomsky. You were there yesterday talking about money and politics. What is your impression of this burgeoning progressive movement?
Well, look, I have to say, I deny that I am old enough to have seen the Great Pyramid go up. But, you know, I haven't seen much like this in American politics in a long time. And frankly, it makes me quite happy. I particularly appreciate it. I've been walked around down there two or three times before I talked. And frankly, I love the signs. So the signs are maybe the best tutorial on politics and money, which is sort of what I study, that anybody ever did. I mean, one of them, my favorite was the one that said, hey, congressmen and women should be like NASCAR drivers, have to wear, show us who their sponsors are. There was another one that said, hey, capitalism is socialism for the 1%. And there were a string of, you know, let's overturn Citizens United. That's the Supreme Court decision that essentially facilitated completely secret corporate donations in unlimited amounts. And look, you know, anybody who follows American politics should. I understand that most people don't, neither reporters nor political scientists, sort of understand the sort of completely dominating role money plays in the U.S. political system. It's a money-driven political system. These folks have it. And in that respect, it's very clarifying. I think, a huge tonic for the body politic. You can see all the propaganda about how the government is the problem. These folks they effectively identify the problem, which is, in effect, that 99% versus 1% in which the political system responds to the 1%. That's it. That's the real story. You fix that, and you can fix America. You don't fix that, and you don't. And I think this is – I'm encouraged by the various polls out. I mean, the Gallup poll put a piece out that said something like most Americans don't have any view of the Occupy Wall Street movement. You know, that's technically true, but they missed the story, which was if you knew about it, you usually liked it. And I don't doubt that, you know, the poll is several weeks old, actually. That's going to change. You can see how this is shaking the political establishment. Frankly, this political establishment needs a deep shaking. If it doesn't get it, we're going to sit here at high unemployment, and, you know, huge budget cuts for years.
Now, I'm wondering how you think protesters who are expanding this movement across the country are going to be able to scare Congress into addressing income inequality when members of Congress usually know that the more money that they can get from corporate coffers in their next re-election bid, the better their chances of winning. I mean, there's a direct correlation
question all the time. Mm-hmm. I have to say, there is actually some evidence that, I mean, I'd be the last person on earth to deny the importance of money in politics. But it also relies on a kind of ignorance. That is to say, there's now some good research that shows what you could sort of figure and what I've experienced myself when I was lobbying on financial reform, which is the threat of exposure makes congressmen and women behave a great deal better. You can see them, if they actually think that folks begin to pay attention to some particularly egregious thing, they will try to jump out of the way. In that respect, the publicity and attention make a difference. I've seen some cases where Barney Frank changed overnight when he was writing his committee was writing the derivative section of the financial reform bill, the Dodd-Frank thing. There's no doubt at all what that was. It was a set of exposure in both the blogosphere and the which crossed over into the newspapers. This is a pretty general phenomenon. So let's see what happens. It's clear to me already that if you study both the White House and the Congress closely, as well as the Republicans, they're all sort of they're sitting around taking account of this. Now, they will try both to manipulate it and to marginalize it, but it's clearly a threat. And I think it's still growing because the problems are just getting worse, and there is no solution to the unemployment. Nobody's doing anything to put people back to work in any serious way. I mean, the Obama proposals better than what he's done before. They're basically a drop in the bucket. You have enormous numbers of unemployed, and you need the equivalent of a New Deal. He's not offering anything like that.
Well, I'm wondering what you make of the fact that Republican candidates for president who are gearing up their campaigns now seem to be not very affected by this Occupy movements in their tax plans. At least you see Republican candidate Herman Cain with his 999 tax plan.
Yep.
Rick Perry has now offered something quite, I don't know, I guess bizarre is a good way to describe it, a 20% voluntary flat tax. And Republicans seem to think that all they have to do is simplify the tax plan, but what does that really mean?
Look, Republican electorates in primaries are a very special animal. The first thing to be said is they're very strange in terms, they're not going to be huge in terms of the percentage of all voters, and the percentage of folks who are in them who are, well, rather far out of the mainstream, to judge even from the polls that show that, you know, Americans, if they know about Occupy Wall Street, generally like it, they're going to have a fair amount of impact. The other side of this is, look, if you're talking Republican primaries, and this is probably more important than even the stuff about the electorate that I've just mentioned and a lot of people concentrate on, look, the Republican Party is utterly, totally, and completely dominated by large contributors. There's no such, I mean, just nothing else really matters. You could see Michelle Bachmann as her own manager. Ed Rollins pointed out she had a small contributor strategy. She's going nowhere. Asking why are Republican presidential candidates doing what they are doing, this is to highlight the problem is in the American system. It's that money is talking and the population is. Let's see what happens as these folks develop. I mean, I frankly think this is going to be fun. I want to see this. And you can also see, if you look behind, if you just pay off stage, there's an awful lot of Republican leaders who are petrified that Perry or somebody is going to talk themselves into a corner the way the Sharon Angleton did out in Nevada, where she blew a race that seemed impossible to lose, or Christine O'Donnell in Delaware, mm-hmm. where she went down in what seemed to be a made-to-order victory just by talking herself into a corner. I mean, I don't expect a Republican nominee for president to be carrying on about witches. In Delaware, that's what happened. But hey, in a Republican primary, anything can happen.
Finally, my guest is Tom Ferguson. He is a professor of political science at University of Massachusetts Boston and a senior fellow of the Roosevelt Institute. He addressed the Occupy Boston camp yesterday, and we've been talking about the intersection of money and politics and how Occupy Wall Street has been calling attention to that. Well, we are in our KPFK pledge drive, and I want to tell you about a brand new documentary that we're debuting today here on Uprising. In 2003, Texans lost the right to collect more than $250,000 at a time in non-economic damages and medical malpractice suits. That cap on damages was ushered in on a wave of so-called tort reform advocacy by medical and independent groups and Texas Governor Rick Perry. Proponents of that ballot initiative claimed high medical costs were directly related to so-called frivolous malpractice lawsuits. Texans were largely convinced that pain and suffering, not tallied on a hospital bill, were exaggerated in trials and that juries were manipulated into awarding exorbitant amounts to harmed patients. Governor Perry crusaded for the bill by equating a yes vote as a, quote, vote for your doctors and for affordable health care. But earlier this month, the nonprofit consumer advocacy group Public Citizen found that healthcare spending has not dropped in Texas since the cap on damages was enacted in 2003. It's been on the rise. Premiums for private insurance in Texas have risen far faster than the national average, and so has Medicare spending. The number of uninsured Texans has risen, and the number of primary care physicians per capita has plateaued. Rural communities have seen access to medical care decrease. The new documentary film, Hot Coffee looks at, among other consequences of the tort reform, limited damage awards like Texas's, and finds the only sure outcome is less money for victims of debilitating medical mistakes. The film's title, Hot Coffee, references the much-lampooned 1994 lawsuit by a woman burned by McDonald's coffee. It is a scathing expose of the nationwide right-wing campaign for tort reform. Hot Coffee reveals the tort reform agenda is largely financed and pushed by the deep-pocketed U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other industry associations through AstroTurf front groups. The film shows a justice system held hostage by damage caps, mandatory arbitration clauses, and a flood of corporate money buoying the campaign efforts of business-friendly judges. Hot Coffee should be mandatory viewing for anyone who has ever signed a cell phone contract, relied on the legal system to remedy an injustice, or who doesn't know the real story behind that spilled cup of hot coffee. And it's our thank you gift to you today for a pledge of $120 if you call us anytime at 818-985-5735. Well, most of you have heard of that story about the coffee being spilled on the woman as she went through a McDonald's drive-thru. And most of us think that she was awarded millions of dollars for that particular lawsuit. Well, let's take a listen to Hot Coffee and the real story of the woman named Stella Liebeck.
And then there is this tonight. In Albuquerque, an 81-year-old woman has been awarded $2.9 million after she sued McDonald's, claiming their coffee was too hot. It seems she was holding a cup between her legs while driving.
I spoke to a lawyer. We're suing for millions.
Suing? What for?
The coffee was too hot.
The woman, she purchased the coffee and she spilled it on herself. I mean, it wasn't like the McDonald's employee took the coffee, threw it on her. Now, that in itself, then she would have had a lawsuit.
It's just people just are greedy and want money and they'll do anything to get it.
I am just astounded at how many people are aware of this case and how many people have a distorted view of the case. It doesn't matter where I am or who I speak to. I know all about that. And well, what do you know?
I got this picture in my mind that she actually pulled up, maybe took the coffee, and dumped it.
I think she went through the drive-thru.
She was driving the car. She
tried to drive and drink it at the same time.
And then the lid might have popped open and it spilled on her lap.
Had it between her legs.
Spilled in her lap. It was too hot.
And then sued McDonald's
for millions of dollars.
And I'll say, what would you say if I told you she wasn't driving? Oh, no, she was driving. What would you say if I told you that's a wrong report and she was not driving? She was in the parking lot. She was in the passenger seat. My nephew was driving.
She ordered coffee with her value meal, and I knew she liked cream and sugar in it. There was no place in my 1989 Ford Probe. Everything sloped. There were no cup holders in that car.
Did I get cream and sugar also?
It's in the bag.
It's in the bag?
Yeah.
Thank you. I pulled out of here knowing that I needed to get organized if I was going to be eating and driving. And I knew she wanted to put her cream and sugar in the coffee, so pretty much pulled right here, almost exactly in this spot, and handed her coffee, or had already done that. And so we just went about organizing. And short period after that, she started screaming.
Wanted to get the top off to put cream and sugar in, so I put it between my knees to steady it with this hand, trying to get the top off, and it just went, Excruciating pain. I was burned so severely that they didn't think I would live.
I'm a nurse, and I was horrified at the type of injuries that she had sustained, the skin grafts and the pieces that were still ongoing. So it was kind of a shocker, because it's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to see. So it was kind of a, oh my goodness.
We could see the extent of this injury. So we started saying, we need to ask McDonald's to pay for this. We were extremely surprised when McDonald's did not offer more than $800 on what was at that point a $10,000 medical problem.
Once I met Reed and met Stella Liebeck and looked at the evidence, you know, they had my full attention, because the coffee in question was brewed at temperatures that would approximate the temperature in your radiator after you drive from, you know, from your office to home. In Discovery, we learned that in the franchise directives and manuals that the franchisee was required to follow, that they had to have their waters at certain temperatures. And then they said that the holding temperature should be 180 Fahrenheit to 190 Fahrenheit.
Hot liquid, whether it's coffee or water or any liquid like that, if it's in the range of 180 degrees or hotter, if it is in contact with your skin for more than just a few seconds, it will produce very serious burns. If you're lucky, it'll produce a second-degree burn. If you're not as lucky, you will get third-degree or full-thickness burns requiring skin grafting and surgery.
You've been listening to an excerpt from the brand new documentary Hot Coffee, whose DVD copies have been made available to us, especially by New Video. Special thanks to them for making it available to us before the DVD actually hits sales and hits retail stores. It's an amazing documentary about the so-called tort reform movement. You may not even know what that is, although you've probably heard of the term. I remember when the healthcare town hall meetings were happening the year that President Obama was pushing his health reform bill. And across the country, there were the Tea Party, nascent Tea Partiers showing up at these town hall meetings, angrily screaming about how the government was going to take over their health care. And I attended one right here in Southern California. And a lot of these folks who had attended were saying that the real solution to drive down health care costs was tort reform. And I had heard of the term too, but didn't really understand what they were talking about. This movie lays bare what tort reform is all about. Basically, in plain terms, it's the effort to limit how much a jury can award a person, any person like you and me, an ordinary person who has been wronged by a corporation. It is a piece of legislation generally that is heavily favored towards maintaining corporate greed, limiting corporate liability. And the media campaign over the kinds of cases that Stella Liebeck and others were involved in to create this propaganda in the minds of ordinary people that there are this host of frivolous lawsuits has been sadly very, very effective. Many of us remember the McDonald's coffee case. And as you heard, there's been much lampooning of that case. But few people know the real story of the elderly woman who was burned so badly by this ridiculously hot cup of coffee that she nearly died. The documentary shows you photographs of her burns, and they are shocking. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. Call us and we'll give you this documentary on DVD, brand new documentary that we're really excited to offer to you for a pledge of just $10 a month. That's a $120 pledge. If you combine it with the Uprising USB memory stick, which by the way is loaded with all sorts of audio from the Occupy movements, but also with all of the documents, the original documents leaked to the Center for Media and Democracy by from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, that has model bills that Republican legislators have pushed all over the country, state by state, and they include bills on tort reform, where liabilities, ordinary people's ability to sue corporations has been limited, just like in Texas in 2003 when medical malpractice lawsuits people were given the impression that there were just so many medical malpractice lawsuits that it was driving up the cost of healthcare. They put in place tort reform limiting people's damages. And healthcare costs have not gone down. They've gone up. A new study just showed this. And there's a whole section in this documentary, Hot Coffee, about this Texas legislation. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. If you get the Uprising USB memory stick along with the Hot Coffee documentary, you can pledge just $200. They're both available individually for $120. We've made a deal for you. And the first 10 callers who callers and make a $200 pledge will throw in a subscription, a year-long subscription to The Progressive magazine. We only have 10 of those subscriptions, and it wasn't easy to get these subscriptions. And it's one of the premier progressive magazines, simply called The Progressive, in the nation. There are 12 issues. It's a monthly magazine, and we only have 10 of those to give away, and that's the only bonus add-on thank you gift that we're offering this hour. So don't wait till the end of the hour. We want to raise $4,000 this morning, and we want to do it with your help. This is a fantastic documentary. Martina and I watched it yesterday, and we were really blown away by it. It's really well made. And anybody who has ever signed a cell phone contract or any kind of contract with a company, because that's what corporations want. They don't want you to be able to sue them. They want you to be able to sign your rights away in these so-called arbitration clauses, which means closed-door sessions that are run by companies that are in favor of and all, rule 90% of the time in favor of the corporations. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. It's a $120 pledge for Hot Coffee, the incredible documentary about the tort reform agenda being pushed by the Chamber of Commerce, by wealthy Republicans, and by the right wing across the country. And it really should be the kind of thing that everybody who is critical of corporate greed is aware of. Very well-made documentary, too. It features Senator Al Franken, who takes up the case of this young woman named Jamie Lee Jones, who went to work for Halliburton in Iraq and was placed in an all-male dormitory and was gang-raped just 4 days after she arrived, only to find that she couldn't sue. She was locked up in a container after that. She couldn't sue Halliburton because she had apparently signed away, unbeknownst to her, signed away her rights in an arbitration clause. She went to Congress, and Al Franken has been pushing for the right of people like her to be able to sue the companies that put her in danger and other people and other women in danger. It's amazing how these corporations have managed to protect themselves at every expense, at the expense of ordinary people. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. Hot Coffee, hot off the presses, our thank you gift to you today. $120 pledge, or with the Uprising USB memory stick and the Progressive magazine add-on, $200. We have two callers on the line right now. Let's get eight more of you calling in so that we can give away all of those Progressive magazine subscriptions to you for a pledge of $200. You can break it up into monthly installments, whatever works for you. 818-985-5735. I want to go back to an excerpt of Hot Coffee about the money behind the tort reform agenda and all of the lies that have been perpetrated about it.
The American Tort Reform Association is a group of several hundreds businesses, and also colleges and universities, and I'm their general counsel, and they are dedicated to try to see that there's a fair and balanced legal system in the United States.
The American Tort Reform Association was formed in 1986 by about 300 major corporations, insurance companies, chemical companies, oil and gas, pharmaceutical companies. They're going to start advocating for laws all around the country to limit the liability of all their members. And so they hired a PR firm, and they came up with these groups called Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. They were to give the impression that these were just citizen groups that had sprung up spontaneously.
AstroTurf groups. So they looked like they were grassroots groups, but they really had no people in them. They were all run through the PR firm. That's what Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse was.
The tobacco industry was actually funding a lot of this, that they would funnel money through a Washington, D.C. law firm called Covington & Burling that would then distribute tobacco money to some of these Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse groups.
Join the jury against lawsuit abuse. Call 1-800.
It was supposedly just a group of business people and community leaders who were acting on their own, when in fact, it was a carefully orchestrated campaign, orchestrated out of Washington, D.C., with the help of people like Karl Rove, who had their own business and financial interest in pushing the agenda of tort reform and making it look like it was a totally spontaneous event.
Texas must end the junk lawsuits that clog our courts and threaten our producers.
In Texas in the mid-90s, you had Karl Rove and then candidate Bush come along and see that there was a real political advantage to talking about so-called tort reform.
Karl Rove was, in the early 1990s, a consultant for Philip Morris for the tobacco industry.
He was working for Philip Morris and Bush at the same time. He was on the Philip Morris payroll, so he had a lot of ties to these folks.
Rove saw that if he used tort reform and if his candidates ran on tort reform, it would make it that much easier for him to open the pockets of the business community.
And then once Governor Bush was elected, it was Katie bar the door. They implemented all of the things that interests like insurance companies and the healthcare industry and others wanted in Texas.
And so it's with great pleasure that I sign a cap on punitive damages that will add certainty to the business climate.
And a lot of the people who had been his biggest financial backers in Texas. They followed him right to the White House, so he kept going.
No one has ever been healed by a frivolous lawsuit. I urge the Congress to pass medical liability reform. Our economy is held back by irresponsible class actions and frivolous asbestos claims. And I urge Congress to pass legal reforms this year. Because lawsuits are driving many good doctors out of practice, leaving women in nearly 1,500 American counties without a single OBGYN, I ask the Congress to pass medical liability reform this year.
He was tort reformer in chief. He really brought that issue to the center stage in a way nobody else had ever done.
Too many good docs are getting out of business. Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country. We're a litigious society. Everybody's suing, it seems like. There are too many lawsuits in America.
If you have the right words that evoke your whole system of thought and your way of understanding an issue, and when that language is repeated over and over, the brain changes. The circuitry gets stronger and can become permanent.
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
And that is an amazing documentary you've just been listening to, Hot Coffee, about the so-called tort reform agenda of big business and Republicans and the right wing across the country. And all it simply is, you know, it's a word that it's not obvious what it means. And that's probably the reason why they use this word tort reform. The word reform, of course, is the favorite word that is often used by those in power who want to take away the rights of Americans. Think about healthcare reform and Medicare reform and Social Security reform, right? Well, tort reform is no different. It simply is the desire to restrict the way in which ordinary Americans can sue corporations for damages. So if you have been wronged by a corporation, if you have been fleeced by a corporation, if you've been physically hurt or mentally hurt by a corporation, and if you happen to live in a state where there are limits to how many damages you can claim, you will basically have your rights utterly curtailed. Even if a jury awards you millions of dollars and you think that you have gotten justice, the judge will then apply what the state law might be in the state that you're in and completely reduce it to whatever Republicans had pushed in your state and perhaps gotten passed. There are tort reform laws on the books in many, many states, and you just heard President G.W. Bush having pushed a tort reform agenda federally as part of his presidency. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call if you want a copy of the brand new Hot Off the Presses documentary, Hot Coffee. Pledge $120. Better yet, pledge $200 and we'll throw in the Uprising USB memory stick, which is loaded up with documents leaked from the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, the right-wing group that basically writes legislation with corporations and Republican lawmakers to push it state by state. There are model bills, many of them on tort reform. And you can browse through the PDF files that we're going to be putting onto these USB memory sticks, courtesy of the Center for Media and Democracy, who generously shared those with us. And it has their clear-eyed analysis on these model bills so that you can look up whether these bills have been introduced in your state, here in the state of California and other states if you're listening from out of town online. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. It's a $200 pledge, 818-985-5735. You get the film and the Uprising USB memory stick, which has tons and tons of audio. We also are putting the entire 40-minute speech by Noam Chomsky that he just gave at Occupy Boston onto that memory stick, along with Cornel West and Danny Glover and Michael Moore and many others. 818-985-KPFK. And we'll throw in a subscription, a year-long subscription, monthly to the monthly magazine, The Progressive. While supplies last, we only have 10 of those subscriptions to give away. And I think we still have 8 or 9 left. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. Hot Coffee features George Lakoff. You might have recognized his voice. He is the famed Berkeley-based linguist, neuroscientist, who shows how propaganda works on the human mind. And it is made by Susan Saladoff. It has won a number of awards and been featured in numerous film festivals, including it was the official selection at this year's LA Film Festival. It was the official selection at this year's Sundance Film Festival, the official selection at the DocuWest Film Festival, Silver Docs Documentary Film Festival, the Edmonton International Film Festival, Waterfront Film Festival, Atlanta Film Festival, Independent Film Festival in Boston, the Seattle International Film Festival. So it's been really widely shown and well reviewed. And I've watched it, so I can really vouch for it, folks. I wouldn't be trying to convince you that not only is this documentary worth watching, but this radio station is worth supporting if I didn't mean it, if I wasn't sincere. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. Very educational documentary. If you thought you knew about the case of the McDonald's coffee spill and the supposedly millions of dollars that was awarded to the woman who the coffee spilled on, think again. I had no idea. I had a particular impression in my mind of what that case was all about because we all succumbed to the media propaganda on that story. And this documentary lays bare how so much has been made of these so-called frivolous lawsuits. You hear it all the time. Trial lawyers are the only ones who benefit from the frivolous lawsuits. Well, ordinary citizens benefit from the right to hold corporations accountable. We don't hear that viewpoint. And that's what's being touted in hot coffee. If you're part of the Occupy movements, you need to watch this documentary. We all need to, whether we're part of it or not. In fact, watch it and then go down to join the folks in City Hall if you really want to be part of this movement. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. If you call this number and make a $200 pledge, we'll send you the documentary, we'll send you the USB memory stick, we'll send you the subscription to the Progressive magazine. 818-985-KPFK. I want to turn to this week's edition of Civic Circus in just a moment, but I need to hear from many, many, many more of you calling in. Maybe you enjoy our weekly commentary, Civic Circus, by Ankur Patel, our intern, who really tries to keep us updated on local issues here in Southern California that doesn't get much media coverage. 818-985-5735 is the number to call if you think that Uprising does a good service, that Uprising is something that you value so much in your life that you can't imagine with having your commute, your morning radio time without it. 818-985-KPFK. We've got one caller on the line right now, and that's not enough, folks. We need another 7 or 8 if you're filling up our phone lines. Yesterday, we didn't do that well. It was our worst day yesterday, $1,500. We had the Monday blues. It's Tuesday. The week's getting revved up, and we want to generate enthusiasm and excitement, not just for KPFK, but for this incredible historic moment that we're in. If you enjoyed the interview with Tom Ferguson earlier in the morning, if you enjoyed the interview we did with Barbara Ehrenreich just yesterday, by the way, all of those interviews will be uploaded onto our memory stick so that you can have this amazing audio archive, historic audio archive of this moment that we're living in today. Call us and make a pledge at 818-985-KPFK. Let's take a listen to this week's Civic Circus with Ankur Patel.
Welcome to Civic Circus. This is Ankur Patel breaking down local politics, going to 3-hour meetings so you don't have to. Each week on Uprising, I'll bring you a report on city, county, and state bureaucracy. President Obama has been talking about maintaining bridges and building roads on a regular basis, but the reality of crumbling infrastructure is felt at the local level. Los Angeles is no different. At the city level, instead of long-term budgeting and proper maintenance planning, it's about kicking the can down the road until we have no option but to increase fees. We are facing that situation now, with an estimated 2,100 miles, over 30% of Los Angeles' 6,400-mile sewer system being over 80 years old and in need of replacement now. The Bureau of Sanitation already collects over $700 million per year from the sewer service charge portion of your LADWP utility bill. But according to officials, that isn't going to be enough for the massive infrastructure project that we can no longer put off. The sewer service charge is the fee we pay to the city to maintain our wastewater facilities. The fee is based on how much water you use, but that is probably inflated because we use so much water to maintain our lawns, water which doesn't end up in the sewer. On October 19th, the Los Angeles City Council voted 13-0 unanimously to increase the sewer service charge 4.5% in each of the next 3 years and 6.5% annually for the 6 years after that, totaling a more than 70% fee increase over 10 years. The increase is expected to generate nearly $2 billion. The average residential bill of $30 a month will increase to about $53 by the year 2020, officials said. Single-family residents, however, will be facing a much steeper increase because of their landscaping costs. The city's Bureau of Sanitation is under the Department of Public Works, which is responsible for everything from sidewalks and trash collection to bridges and trees. Enrique Saldivar, director of the Bureau of Sanitation, said his department met with more than 70 neighborhood councils and other groups to explain the proposal over the past several months. Unfortunately, the presentations didn't get into where the Bureau's money has been going, whether it is to union bosses, special interests, developers, or expensive subcontractors instead of maintaining our sewers. In typical LA fashion, there is a lack of detailed historical and projected financial information such as income statements, balance sheets, and cash flow statements. Speaking of sewers, the mainstream media doesn't get into this kind of information. Here on Uprising, I started out as an intern and have had the opportunity to speak out on these underreported and poorly understood issues that even politicians don't want us to know about. I'm glad to be sharing this information with you on this weekly commentary because an engaged and an informed citizenry is what the 1% is most afraid of. KPFK needs your support during this fall fund drive, and if you appreciate this sort of information, please do call in and show your support. These clowns at City Hall are increasing fees and reducing service. Here at KPFK, we are the voice of the people. Please pledge your support at 818-985-5735. For Uprising, this is Ankur Patel with Civic Circus.
Thanks, Ankur. And this is Uprising. I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar. Please call us at 818-985-KPFK. We have provided an outlet for so many amazing young interns to develop skills and to be able to share their voices and their ideas on the air. You don't have to have a background in journalism, as I didn't, when you walk in the door at KPFK. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. This radio station is so unique in Southern California and across the country. That's why you should support it. When you call us and make a pledge of $200, we'll send you Hot Coffee, the brand new documentary by Susan Saladoff, and the Uprising USB memory stick. We'll throw in a subscription to the Progressive magazine. The film is named after the much lampooned story of Stella Liebeck, this elderly woman who was burned in the most horrific fashion by McDonald's coffee. What most of us don't know that was that there had been, prior to her case, 700 documented complaints against McDonald's coffee and how hot it was being served, between 170 to 180 degrees. And so the potential for accidents and for people being severely burned was very, very high. And not only was there a potential, it had actually happened at least 700 times before Stella Liebeck's case. And when her family wrote to McDonald's asking them to at least just cover her medical expenses, which is all they wanted, McDonald's offered to cover $800 of what ended up being tens of thousands of dollars of medical coverage. The woman, essentially, she passed away. Stella Liebeck passed away at 91 years of age. She never regained the strength and the vitality she had before that incident with the coffee. And most people don't know that story because the media spun it so severely. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. If you want to own this documentary, which, by the way, has been slammed by corporate lawyers. There have been articles written that have been traced to corporate lawyers slamming the film, accusing the filmmaker of bias, calling it an anti-tort film that has really distorted the facts. And of course, when there's a lot of money sloshing around to pay corporate lawyers to launch attacks on independent filmmakers who are trying to expose the truth, you're going to get that kind of propaganda. KPFK is corporate free by design. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. The film not only covers Stella Liebeck's case, it also covers the heartbreaking case of a woman who was pregnant with twins and whose doctor didn't realize that she only had one placenta instead of two. And as a result of her malpractice, one of the woman's sons was born severely brain damaged while the other son was born normally. And because of medical malpractice lawsuits, damages being capped in that particular state that this woman lived in, Texas, they were able to only get $250,000 in damages, which barely covered their lawyer's fees and did not cover for the lifetime care of their very, very severely brain damaged son, whose disability was created directly as a result of the particular doctor. The film also goes into how local judges' election campaigns have millions of dollars at the local level being thrown at them by Republicans. This was a Karl Rove strategy, and it profiles one Mississippi judge who was one of the only anti-corporate, or at least critical of corporations, judge who was running for re-election. And they slammed him so severely and ran so many negative ads on him. He won anyway, and then they prosecuted him for all sorts of things like tax evasion, none of which stood up. He was acquitted of all charges, but because of the smear campaign, he lost his next election. And that's what judges who are critical of corporations and who might rule in favor of ordinary people who are suing corporations face around the country. That's what this documentary Hot Coffee covers. It also covers the case of Jamie Lee Jones, a young woman who I mentioned earlier was raped in a Halliburton base in Iraq and was not able to sue because of the arbitration clause that she signed, which is what the right wing basically wants us to enter into, these individual contracts with corporations that limit their liabilities, forces us to get into arbitration, secret arbitration with these corporations that 90% of the time are ruled in favor of the corporations. It's been pushed by Republicans, and it is a very, very severe curtailment of the rights of juries to award damages to people who are wronged by corporations. Let's take another listen to the documentary Hot Coffee, but please keep those calls coming in at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. It's a $120 pledge for the film, $200 pledge for the pack, that's the film and the USB memory stick, plus the progressive subscription.
I had never heard of a mandatory arbitration clause before I had signed my employment contract with Halliburton. I worked for Halliburton in Houston, and I wanted to help Operation Iraqi Freedom. My mom was very sick at home, so I needed to help support her. They say it's more likely that you get in a car wreck than something happening to you in Iraq. So as a 19-year-old girl, you believe your elders and you think that that's probably true. So
4 years ago, at the age of 19, Ms. Jamie Lee Jones signed a contract to become an employee of KBR, then a Halliburton subsidiary. That contract contained a clause which required her to arbitrate any future dispute against her employer. This means it forced her to give up her right to seek redress in court if she was wrong.
Businesses use a number of devices to keep the public out of the courts. But one of the devices they've used is they've written clauses into contracts that say that you cannot go to court. You can only go to arbitration.
I worked for Halliburton in Houston for a little bit over a year before I decided to go to Iraq. When I was in Iraq, Halliburton and KBR were the same company. Those that go over to Iraq get promoted when they come home also. I mean, my goal was to just work there forever. I was content there until everything happened. I was told that I would be housed in a little trailer house with one female on one side, another on one side, and then a bathroom shared in the middle. And when I got there, I was perplexed because I was put in a predominantly all-male barrack. I didn't see any females there. I emailed some of the managers that I knew from Houston, and I told them I was concerned that I wanted, you know, to be moved into the living quarters that I was promised. And
that's an excerpt of the documentary Hot Coffee, the story of Jamie Lee Jones. I had to fade out of that early because our phone lines are dead. We haven't even raised $1,000, which is really sad because this is a fantastic documentary that everybody should watch and everybody should own. It's called Hot Coffee. You might have heard about the story of Jamie Lee Jones. Democracy Now! Covered it extensively when it first happened, and it's been profiled here in this documentary. You heard the voice of Senator Al Franken. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. If you've ever heard the term tort reform being touted by the right wing and wondered what it was all about, it is an attack on a very fundamental right by Americans to sue corporations when they are wronged. Any one of us could find ourselves in the situation. Many of us have. And we need to learn about the campaign across the country being pushed by big business, by the Chamber of Commerce, by corporations to limit their liabilities. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. 1-800-985-5735. Jamie Lee Jones worked for 4 years to get justice. All she wanted was a day in court, and she was finally able to testify in Congress. The film is incredible. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number to call. I want to play for you next an excerpt of Professor Chomsky, who addressed the Occupy Wall Street demonstration in Boston, Occupy Boston, at Dewey Square just this weekend, discussing the history of income inequality in the United States. And this, and the entire audio of his 40-minute talk is loaded onto the Uprising USB memory stick, part of our $200 thank you gift to you today, are available individually for $120 pledge at 818-985-KPFK.
The fact that the demonstrations are the Occupy movement is unprecedented is quite appropriate. It's an unprecedented era, not just this moment, but actually since the 1970s. In the 1970s, there began a major turning point in American history. For centuries, since the country began, it had been a developing society, and not in very pretty ways. That's another story. But it was a developing society with ups and downs, but a general progress towards wealth, industrialization, development, even in dark and hope. There was a pretty near constant expectation that it's going to go on like this. That was true even in very dark times. I'm just old enough to remember the Great Depression. And after the first few years, by the mid-30s, although the situation was objectively much harsher than it is today, nevertheless, the spirit was quite different. There was a sense that we're going to get out of it, even among unemployed people, a lot of my relatives, that it'll get better. There's a militant labor movement organizing, CIO organizing is going on. It was getting to the point of sit-down strikes, which really are very frightening to the business world. You could see it in the business press at the time, because a sit-down strike is just a step before taking over the factory and running it yourself, and something which incidentally is very much on the agenda today, and we should keep it in mind. I'll come back to it. Also, the New Deal legislations were beginning to come under popular pressure, and there just was a sense somehow we're going to get out of it. It's quite different now, and now there's a kind of pervasive sense of hopelessness, sometimes despair. I think it's quite new in American history, and it has an objective basis. In the 1930s, unemployed working people could anticipate realistically that the jobs are going to come back. If you're a worker in manufacturing today, and the level of unemployment in manufacturing is approximately like the Depression, if current tendencies persist, those jobs aren't going to come back. The change took place in the 70s. A lot of reasons for it. One of the underlying reasons.
Professor Chomsky speaking at Occupy Boston. I'm sorry to interrupt his flow there, but we only have 5 minutes left in the hour. We have one caller on the line right now, and I'd like to make at least $1,000 this morning. I'd be amazingly ecstatic if we made our $4,000 goal, but that's looking increasingly unlikely unless somebody calls in right now and makes a $2,000 pledge, $3,000 pledge. Maybe somebody out there can do that, or even a $1,000 pledge. Or we'll take a bunch of you making $200 pledges right now. For your $200 pledge, we will give you the brand new documentary Hot Coffee, as well as the entire Chomsky, 40-minute Chomsky address, brand new at Occupy Boston, loaded onto our Uprising USB memory stick, along with lots and lots of other audio and all of the documents. 800 model bills from ALEC, including bills on tort reform. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. We have 5 minutes left in the hour. I know we can do it, folks. I know that you care about KPFK and you care about Uprising. You just have to show that you care by making a phone call and break it up into monthly installments. If it doesn't work for you, to pledge $200 all at once, because of course $200 is a lot of money. Or maybe you can pledge $120 and get either the film or the USB memory stick, which is just $10 a month. If you pledge $200, it's $16.67 a month, which is just a little over 50 cents a day. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. The documentary is amazing. The USB memory stick is amazing. The Progressive Magazine subscription is our extra bonus add-on that you can get along with the two gifts. And I don't know what else I can say to convince you to call in, except that if you love this program, if you love this station, if you care about public radio, radio for the 99%, then you have to pay up to keep it on the air. That's how it works. We don't go to corporations to underwrite us. We don't air corporate ads for a reason. We want to be free of corporate influence. And today that counts for a lot when you think about how few radio stations that there are that don't have corporate underwriting. Even the ones that claim that they are listener-sponsored are not listener-sponsored alone. In fact, only a tiny percentage of most so-called public radio stations, minus this one, actually get their budget from listeners like you. The majority of it is from corporate underwriters, and you know that. Underwriters like Halliburton, and you've heard it. You've heard it if you've listened to any other radio station on this in Southern California. But here on KPFK, we have been proudly corporate-free and free of corporate money since our inception. And it's always challenging to do that. Sure, we could go to corporate underwriting. It wouldn't be too difficult. We've got a big signal, the biggest signal west of the Mississippi, 112,000 watts. That would be worth a lot to corporate advertisers who'd like to buy access to your ears. And it would be much easier because we wouldn't have to worry about money. We wouldn't have to worry about coming to you several times a year to ask you for donations. But you'd have to listen to and sit through corporate advertising, and you wouldn't be convinced that our coverage was free of corporate influence. But now, you are, I hope, because that's the way it is. We have been proudly corporate money free for over 50 years, and only because you have come through time and time again. New listeners, old listeners, first-time listeners, long-time listeners have come through over and over again with generous donations. Maybe somebody can make a $1,000 pledge right now and get 5 copies of the Hot Coffee Pack, the documentary, and the USB memory sticks. Give them away as gifts. We really need your help right now. Come through for us like we come through for you every single day. 5 callers on the line right now. Thank you so much. But please keep those calls coming in. We really have to try to make up for, or let's just say, it, lack of enthusiasm. Maybe it's a tough week. The weather's a little bit cold and rainy. And let us warm you up with that fuzzy feeling that you get when you know if you contributed to a good cause, which is KPFK. We're nonprofit. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. Your entire contribution will be tax deductible, $16.67 a month to KPFK. Break it up into installments so that you won't even notice it from your bank account, hopefully. And you will go to bed feeling better tonight, knowing that you supported public radio. On the USB memory stick, you get Noam Chomsky, you get Danny Glover, you get Cornel West, you get all our coverage of the Occupy movements, you get the reports, special reports we've done from Los Angeles, you get the ALEC documents that have been annotated by the Center for Media and Democracy, and whatever else we can think of putting on that memory stick between now and the end of the fund drive. We load it up. It's a 4 GB memory stick, very handsome, with the KPFK logo on it. I have been told I'm out of time, folks. Please keep those calls coming in. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call, and make a $200 pledge. For Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, filmmaker Michael Moore once said, one of the most ironic things about capitalism is that the capitalist will sell you the rope to hang himself with. Actually, they'll give you the money to make a movie that makes them look bad if they believe they can make money off of it. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day. You've been listening to Uprising. Martina Steiner is our assistant producer, and Bipasha Shom is our intern. Teddy Robinson is our engineer. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. I'm going to rush in and answer phone calls. Maybe I'll get to talk to you. I'll see you tomorrow at 8:00.